John 10, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 27 through 30. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all these, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Do you pray with me? Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, we indeed are your sheep. And being as such, we believe that as our shepherd, you are here in this place with us, for a shepherd is never far from his sheep. And so might you reveal your nearness to us this day. You promise that as you are near, you speak, you call us by name, and you tell us where to go. And so this morning, our ears are open. Call us by name. Show us where you are, and invite us to go where you are going. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I sat across the table from a church member a few years ago back in Texas, and I shared with her about a conversation that I had recently between God and me. She kind of gave me a strange look. She's a lady who's in her mid-60s, had been in church her entire life since she was a baby in the nursery. And she loves Jesus, no doubt, with all of her heart. And with tears in her eyes this day, she looked at me and she said, you know, Jamie, in all of my life, I don't think God has ever spoken to me. She said, I'm just not so sure that he does that for me. She said, I love him and I know he's real, but I'm not so sure he speaks. She and I spent several weeks after that getting together and talking about the many ways that God does indeed speak to his children. And I'll never forget with great joy, one morning, weeks later, she came up to me and gave me a big hug, and she had tears in her eyes again, and she said, he does. She said, God does speak. And in all my life, he has been speaking. She said, I just didn't know that was him. She said, he does. Today, we begin a new journey together. For the next 6 weeks, we will be seeking out a common task as one, and that is the task of hearing the voice of our God. We will determine together whether or not God speaks, and whether or not God speaks to us. And if he does, then how does he speak? And if he does, then why is his voice so hard to discern sometimes? And then when we do hear God's voice, what are we to do about that? Sometimes that's the biggest problem. Today, we're simply going to lay some groundwork. And over the next 6 weeks, we are going to see six specific ways that God spoke in Scripture. And with each one, we will ask if he continues to speak in those same ways today. And if we affirm that he does, then together we will ask how we don't miss him, how we can hear his voice more and more. We'll go home each week with a challenge to try out some exercises, maybe some new ones you've never tried before, that will help us hear God again. Maybe even for some in this room, hear God for the very first time actually speaking to you. It's going to be a really fun fall, potentially life-changing. And so I hope that you all will be fully in, that you will be ready to hear what it is that God has to say, because he is indeed speaking, that he might make us more and more active listeners. So why 6 weeks? 6 weeks, that's a long time on hearing the voice of God. Well, if we know anything about God at all, we know for one that He is relational. We just think about the way God creates at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis 1 and 2. There in Genesis 1, we looked at it early in the summer. We see that God creates humankind in His very own image so that we can know Him and relate to Him in a way that no other creature on earth is able to do. Then in Genesis 2, we see that God breathes His very own breath into this ball of dust that He has formed with His very own hands. From the very beginning of time, God gives His life to us, not because He needs us to be complete, but simply because we have this God who for some crazy reason wants us, a God who wants us to know Him and to love Him and to be with Him. From that moment on in creation, God relentlessly seeks out ways to be with His people. You see it through the whole Bible, through the pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day there in the Old Testament, or that tabernacle that moved where the people moved and stayed where the people stayed, where they could find the sure presence of God in that place. Or there was the great temple where His presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies. Or there was a prophet who God would leave with a command to speak to His people on His behalf. And then in the New Testament, God even goes to this great extent of coming to us in the form of man Himself, a God seeking to actually be with His people. Fires and temples were nice, but it wasn't quite enough for our God. He wanted us to really know Him, to really see Him and hear Him, to really touch Him. And so He came and He walked this earth as one of us, living in the homes of some, breaking bread at the tables of others, speaking to many. God entered into a real relationship with His people. In the Message, John 1 translated, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. A God who became a neighbor. With the Bible full of images like that, there is not a one who could ever convince me that we serve a God who is simply distant or unrelational or uninvolved. Never has been, and He never will be. And so if we agree together that at the very least we serve a God who is relational, then we must begin to think together about the nature of relationships. If I were to pull together in this room this morning a few couples who had been married for 25 years or more, and I asked them to tell us the essentials of a healthy, lasting marriage, I bet every single couple in the room at some point would name that one key thing: communication. We know from experience that there is no real, healthy, intimate, lasting relationship without it. Communication. Ever had that friend who only ever talked about themselves? You meet for dinner and the first hour is all about their day, their family, their job, their most recent home project, their aches and their pains. And then when all that's been hashed out, dinner has been served and dessert is on the way, they finally get around to saying, oh, by the way, how are you doing? At this point, you're much too exhausted to really go into depth, so you say, you know, I'm fine. Kids are well, and they seem happy enough with this response. It's adequate. This kind of poor communication will drive us absolutely crazy in human relationships. But when we begin to think about it, all too often, that's exactly the way we communicate with our God. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for my health, for my family, for my friends, for my church. Be with me today. Keep me safe. Help me with my worries. Let me name them all for you right now. Forgive me for my sins. I love you, God. I really do. Amen. Oh, wait a second, God. By the way, is there anything that you would like to say to me, but you've got about 90 seconds till I've got to be somewhere? Okay, great. Now, amen. God is a relational God. And relationships absolutely require communication. And communication must always be a two-way street. Listening and talking, talking and listening. So from the very beginning of time, we have this God who has invited us into a real, living, dynamic relationship with Him. And a God who has promised to hear us when we call. So doesn't it just make sense that we would do our very best to allow God to do the same? To be heard when He calls. To be listened to when He has a care, a concern, a word to share. That's why we'll spend 6 weeks on this one topic of hearing God. Because I believe we serve a God who has a message on His heart to share. And I believe that I know each of us enough to know that we really don't want to miss it. And so the next question then is, but does God really speak? Seems to be a question with an obvious answer. But I wonder if we are really, truly convinced one way or another. Many of us would immediately say, yes, of course God speaks. We know that. We could even begin to walk through all the scripture stories that tell how. Back to Genesis 1 again, God creates everything. Light and darkness, heaven and earth, birds and turtles and hippos and ladybugs, men and women. And how does He do it? But by speaking. The entire story of Scripture begins with a very strong statement that we serve a God who is not mute. He speaks with the law. God could have simply chiseled out those Ten Commandments directly from His hand in heaven and sent it to earth. And yet He chose to speak to Moses. And Moses, listening to God, chiseled out the law on that stone. The prophets, every last one of them, received their callings and the messages that they were to give from a God who spoke to them. Jeremiah, his book begins, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Ezekiel, "God said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when He spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard Him speaking to me. He said to me, mortal, I'm sending you to the people of Israel. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord your God." Ezekiel, "And God spoke to me, and I heard Him speaking to me." This speaking God keeps on speaking even more loudly in the incarnation. If you begin to look back over Jesus' life and ministry, begin to look at the sermons He preached, one of the most popular requests He gave on earth was that His people might hear Him, that they might have ears to hear, that they might be a people who listen. Mark chapter 4, Jesus begins His very first parable, one of His very first sermons, His entire teaching ministry with this simple command, "Listen, listen, my people." And He ends the parable with the same statement, "Let anyone with ears to hear, listen, because I'm speaking." When Jesus ascends into heaven, the Spirit of God continues to move on the earth just as literally as Jesus had moved on the earth. That's the Spirit that said, "Wake up," to Peter in his prison cell, let him out to freedom. That's the same Spirit that met Paul on the road to Damascus and cried out, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" From Genesis to Revelation, we encounter a God who speaks. If we believe these words are God's living word to us, then the answer to the question, does God speak, must be a resounding yes. Yes, He does. But perhaps the question we're really asking is more specifically, does God really speak to me? Because perhaps I've never seen a vision like John saw on the island of Patmos. Perhaps I've never seen a flash of lightning like Paul received on the road to Damascus. Or I've never sat on a hillside and got to hear Jesus Christ Himself preach a sermon. I never looked up to the sky and saw a pillar of fire that was God's own presence. Instead, perhaps I've actually begged and searched and pleaded to hear from God. And all that ever really came from that seemed to be something that sounded a whole lot like my very own voice and my very own thoughts. Sure, God can speak, and sure, God does speak, but I'm just not so sure God speaks to me. But then we have to recall those powerful words spoken by Jesus himself in John 10, the words of the Good Shepherd with his people, the sheep. Jesus identifies himself as that good shepherd. And he says, as such, I am the one who speaks and who lets my voice be known. He says, I'm the one who is familiar to my people because I have been with my people through it all. In the valleys and by the waters, each morning and late into the evening. He says, I'm the one who shoot off the wolves. And I'm the one who has simply sat on the hillside to watch my sheep graze, to watch my people enjoy their lives. He's the one who's never dared to leave his sheep alone, not even for a second. And so this gentle speaking, constant provision, divine guidance, this comforting presence is offered from the Good Shepherd, he says, to all of the sheep. He says his voice is for all of them. He calls them each by name. Doesn't say, hey, all you sheep, come here. He looks them in the eyes and calls them by name. And so all his sheep who stick by him, they know him. And they come to know his voice because they're with him all the time. Making space for him to speak. They come to know his voice as well as they know the voice of a loved one on the other end of the phone without having to even look at the screen and see who it is. They know his voice because they've heard it so many times they can't even count because they have been with him. Is Christ your shepherd this morning? Are you one of the sheep in his fold? If so, then you can know you've got this promise from his very lips to your ears. He speaks, and he speaks to you. And he wants you to know his voice just as well as he knows your voice. It's written right there from Jesus himself. He speaks, and he speaks to you. Well, if that's true, the next logical question is then why is it so hard to hear him? And you know, the reasons for that are varied. Perhaps our inability to recognize his voice so often is just simply a result of our fallen condition. You know, things between us and God, we all know, are not totally as they should be. And here's the newsflash for the morning, that is not God's fault. You see, we are a people who have chosen ourselves over our God so many times. In our brokenness, we entertain all kinds of mixed voices and messages every single day. Trying to see and hear God in the mess of it all can truly be a challenge. No doubt about that. Maybe we find it hard to hear him because we are a fallen people in a fallen world. But we serve a God who doesn't have to stay like that, who says there's a way to intimacy, there's a way to life. Then again, the difficulty in discerning God's voice could simply lie in the very personal nature of all intimate relationships. Certainly, we didn't recognize the voice of those most dear to us here and now as the very first time we heard them speak it. We had to meet them, get to know them, spend intimate time together, and over time growing in that relationship. We just found one day when we speak, they can be hundreds of feet away. We hear them and we know them, and that didn't happen overnight. In the same way, knowing God's voice takes intentional time of being with God and of learning how he sounds. It takes some work. It takes giving God space to speak. and waiting patiently until we know His voice as well as our own. When's the last time you just sat still in one place and said, God, I'm not moving until you speak? There's no time schedule. I am yours, you're God, and I am not. So here I am. Speak as you wish. Or perhaps we struggle to hear God because of the gentle nature within which our Heavenly Father often chooses to speak to us. In general, our God is not one to compete for our attention or to run us over with His force. Sure, there are exceptional cases when He interrupts one on their journey and shows them another way. We see it in Scripture. You probably had times in your life when you didn't even see Him coming, and there He was. But for the most part, we serve a God who has asked us to seek Him, to wait for Him. More than the very air we breathe, to long and to grasp for Him. And in the seeking and the waiting and the longing and the grasping, we serve a God who meets us most often with a gentle whisper, with a little nudge, with a little nod in our stomach, with a warm embrace. And you know, in lives that run 90 miles an hour, these gentle whispers, these little embraces, these little nudges, they can be missed time and time again, dozens of times every single day. Sometimes we just need to slow down a little and make some room for our God. Finally, we should understand that it is most certainly in Satan's best interest to pluck up God's word coming to us before it even has a chance to change us. The enemy wants nothing more than for God's children to be a people who timidly question everything God speaks to them, assuming that they are inadequate of receiving or incapable of interpreting such direct conversation from their Father. How often do we sense we have a word from God and immediately explain it away? He surely wouldn't speak to me like that. Surely I can't understand what He's saying. Surely I need help, an interpreter, a second party to be part of this conversation. And in so doing, hearing becomes only expected by a few accepted people in the church, that we say only these ones really hear from God, and everyone else just gets to know God through them. That's a lot of pressure for a pastor. Let me just tell you. Our God speaks, and He speaks to you. Whenever we wait for just a few people to constantly be the ones who are telling us what He says, we all miss out on hearing the beautiful, diverse voice of our God speaking to and through everyone who is a sheep in His pasture. Do not be timid. Be wise. Be discerning. But never for a moment think that you are too inadequate for your Father God to speak to you. He speaks. But if we're really, really honest, perhaps the greatest hindrance to our hearing the voice of God is ultimately none of these things. But it's at the very heart of hearts that we really don't want to hear Him. Because if we are somewhat smart people, and we read the Bible, we know that if Scripture tells us anything, it tells us that hearing from God comes with a great responsibility to our God. Sometimes I'd rather just not know. Israel, they heard the law that was spoken, and from that moment on, they were accountable to keeping it. The prophets, they heard a call, and boy, were their lives turned upside down and more complicated for it. The demons, they heard from Jesus clearly, and they immediately had to flee. The Pharisees, they heard too, and once they heard, they had a choice to make. Continue on in empty religion or drop their comforts and their status for the sake of the cross. The disciples, they heard, and they followed, and they suffered. Paul, he heard, and his life was never, ever the same. You see, deep down in our hearts, we know that hearing God is ultimately about so much more than simply getting a warm fuzzy for the day. We know that hearing God is about committing ourselves more fully to Him with each and every encounter we have with Him. More fully to His work in this world, to His kingdom coming to earth. More fully committing ourselves to being willing to be a people molded into His likeness. Hear this. Hearing God is a gift randomly given to many people at unexpected times in their spiritual lives. It is a gift randomly given to many people at unexpected times in their spiritual lives. But it is a gift that is consistently given to the few who are fully devoted to God's glory and to seeing His kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. Hearing God's voice, it's a gift that you may get out of the blue just doing what you do here and there. But it is a gift that you will surely receive consistently if your heart is fully devoted to God's glory, to seeing His kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. And so if we wonder this morning why God doesn't speak to us more, the better question may be why He should. What am I doing in my life here and now that would make God's speaking to me a necessary thing? Why should He? Notice the folks He speaks to the most in Scripture. They are the movers and the shakers. They are those who are faithful to do God's kingdom work just as it is revealed to them. They're broken, messy people, but they're devoted. The movers and the shakers. Am I already serious about engaging in the business of God with God? And I just want to know His heart more so I can continue to join in with Him. Or if I'm really honest with myself this morning, if God does speak to me, will things really probably stay more or less the same? Because I'm just not up for much change these days. Been there, done that. Things are just fine. Thank you very much. What reason does God have to speak to me now? Would His voice, regardless of what it said, be a welcome gift? You see, we may not hear because God knows our hearts, and we may not really want to hear. And maybe this entire series begins with just some simple time in prayer this week, asking God to help us want it. To help us want to know His voice, and so that we might be absolutely changed by Him. My friends, our God speaks, and He speaks to us. Oh God, help me, help us to listen. And would you give us the courage, even now, to respond faithfully to whatever it is that's on your heart that you want us to hear. Help us, whatever it is. Open our ears. Maybe more importantly, open our hearts. Oh God, speak. Would you pray with me? Father God, You could so easily be a God who created and removed Yourself from creation, knowing the mess that it would become, knowing the pain and the struggle of this place. You could make Yourself so distant, so far off. And yet You have chosen to be a good shepherd God who is with Your sheep all the time, protecting and guiding, embracing, mending, and speaking. Father God, as Your sheep, too often I go astray, do my own thing, remove myself so far from Your voice to make sure it doesn't inconvenience me. And this day, Father, I come back to you. Pray that we would come back to you, drawing near to our shepherd God. And so as you speak our names, as you tell us what you're up to, we might be up to it as well. Would you soften our hearts? Would you open our ears? These next weeks, God, speak to each of us in a way that is intimate, in a way that we know is from you, in a way that brings us fully to life in your love and in the work of your kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.